This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Big Blue Kitten's got a 2.5 length lead. Slumber, Twilight Eclipse on the inside are coming. Big Blue Kitten, Slumber, Twilight Eclipse. Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
Downward-bound Nyquist, swipe at the rail. Swipe is coming fast. Nyquist calls on all his class. They hit and head for the wire. Nyquist was all hot.
American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum. Happy Breeders' Cup Saturday. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, set to get you ready over the course of the next 2 hours for Breeders' Cup Saturday. Fun Breeders' Cup Friday as the Breeders' Cup debuted in Lexington, Kentucky at Keeneland Racecourse. 9 races yet to come this afternoon, all culminating with the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. And we do want to welcome everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. Everybody listening worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net, and everybody tuning in on our affiliates across the country. Jude, we've been here all week. We started our coverage on Tuesday morning with the first of 4 Breeders' Cup countdown shows. We've had the opportunity to visit with so many of the connections that have been involved with these Breeders' Cup horses, and the excitement here in Lexington for weeks has been palpable. And the excitement this afternoon for Breeders' Cup Saturday just going to build to a crescendo.
Yeah, well, it's just been a great experience. This whole month has been awesome in Lexington, and everybody in town talking about the horses, talking about the races, talking about all the events that have been carried on here throughout the month. And, you know, we've been a part of a lot of those things, and it's been very, very fun, but nothing beats the racing we're going to see today.
Now, the cool thing about Keeneland is you get to see so many of the major players, both past and present, that are here in the Bluegrass. And as we were talking there a couple of moments ago, Jean Cruguet came walking by, the jockey of Seattle Slough, who won the Triple Crown. This afternoon, we welcome the first Triple Crown winner in the history of the Breeders' Cup. There has never been a Triple Crown winner in the history of the Breeders' Cup since its inception in 1984. Well, now American Pharoah is here for that $5 million classic. And with the disappointing news coming out this week that Beholder, the 2-time Eclipse champion, would have to be scratched because she came out of a gallop and she was had a little bit of bleeding going on. She was scratched. She's going to be just fine. She's in good health, but not going to be her day this afternoon.
Yeah, well, she is going to be sorely missed in that race. It was going to be a very exciting matchup, but there's still plenty of competition for American Pharoah to attempt to beat. And
yeah,
it's a great race regardless, but it would have been that much better with her in it.
Yeah, first try against older horses for American Pharoah as well, and his first start since suffering his first defeat this year in the Travers Stakes at Saratoga.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody gets beat. Even Zenyatta got beat.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like he was undefeated.
Right.
To that point, so
right.
He lost his career debut.
Right. So did Secretariat, by the way. So,
yeah.
Just saying.
All right. This would put American Pharoah into another category, would it not? I think he's already among the greats that we've seen because he pulled off the Triple Crown.
Right. So I you know, what other category? I mean, he's going to be in a category by himself, but he's really the only horse that's eligible to do it. It's kind of
Well, they're calling this the Grand Slam.
Yeah, it's not the Grand Slam. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. The Grand Slam. What does that mean? So I don't know, but I mean, he if he does it, he will be the first Triple Crown winner to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that's a great thing. And it's possible that he may be the only horse to ever do that. So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but it's a fantastic feat. He's a fantastic horse. Win, lose, or draw, it really doesn't matter whether he wins today or not. He's still a fantastic horse. He's accomplished something that so few horses have ever done. He's done it with aplomb. His connections have handled everything just impeccably. We were at the Turf Riders Dinner earlier this week, and you know, it was a theme throughout the conversation with Team American Pharaoh, who won an award at the Turf Riders Dinner. That, you know, it's all about the horse, the fans, and, you know, American racing. And
yep.
Mr. Zayat was very gracious. He made a $100,000 donation for scholarships for turf riders.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is awesome. And, you know, it's one of those things where this horse has touched a lot of people's lives in many ways. And so it's just great to, you know, have him, and we need to be thankful for him. And whether he wins today or not is really immaterial. He's just done a lot for our sport.
One thing is for sure. If the Triple Crown winner wins the Breeders' Cup Classic, he is going to earn it this afternoon, because he's squaring off with the likes of Honor Code and Tonalist and Smooth Roller. I mean, the best older handicap horses we have in the game today. He also gets a rematch with the horse that defeated him in the Travers, in Keen Ice. And then you're Kira McLaughlin and Frosted, who a lot of people are saying may be the one to upset the apple cart. So this is no easy task for American Pharoah, and if he wins it today, trust me, he's going to earn it.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I mean, they don't run races on paper, and you know, he's got to go out there and do it. And you know, he's been training great. All the horsemen, all the clockers in California, they just say, well, this horse is just training as good as he could possibly train. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to be at the top of his game today, and we'll see what he can do.
Well, let's throw out the poll question of the morning, which you can tweet to us at HRN on Twitter. You can hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network. And we're going to keep it simple. We just want to know your best bet on this Breeders' Cup Saturday, the one horse in the 9 Breeders' Cup races that you say cannot lose. Is it American Pharoah? Is it somebody else? We want to know. Go ahead and hit us up on Twitter at HRRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The one horse that you feel is the best bet on this Breeders' Cup Saturday.
It's kind of a help the Baron question.
Yep, please. Quickly.
He's too cheap to spend $10 to buy the Pope Jude sheet, so he's trying to get some free picks from our listeners.
Yeah, tweet us quickly. Yeah. And don't be afraid to email the show either, mike@horseracingradio.net. That way we can keep the price up there on the horses, because nobody will see it on social media. How about that?
Yeah, direct message the Baron with your top picks.
All right, what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours? We're going to get you set for Breeders' Cup Saturday with a special visit with our colleague and the only announcer that Keeneland has ever known. That's Kurt Becker, a two-part interview coming up after our first commercial break. Maria Burrell, who trains Run Happy in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, took the time to join us on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show earlier this week. And Maria, we'll play a clip of that interview for you later in the first hour. Same thing with Ken Ramsey. You won't want to miss that. And Mark Cassie in the second half of the program talks about all of his horses coming up on Saturday and a few other things as well. So it's going to be a very busy program. And we'll finish by taking you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway, where we'll take a look at all the top horses. So it's all coming up here over the course of the next 2 hours. Don't forget to check out horseracingradio.net for a complete broadcast schedule and listing of affiliates for this afternoon. We'll step away for a break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Lane's End.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
tight end. Touchdown at the rail. Sweet swap running late. No, nay, never. Late run, Bobby's Kitten. Bobby's Kitten. Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere. Don't tell Sophia coming fast, but it's untappable in front. Untappable the leader. Don't tell Sophia flying on the outside. Untappable's going to get there. Untappable has won it. But it's Judy the Beauty and Better Lucky, the two coming to dispute it now. Judy the Beauty sticks her neck out, goes for the wire. On the outside, Better Lucky's catching. Better Lucky, Judy the Beauty. Judy the Beauty won it ahead and they thrill it.
And then it's Musa G. Karakunti is closing in. Obviously the catch, Karakunti. With a rush on the outside, goes Batten. Late run from Adam Dahl. Karakunti and Odor.
A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirellone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density digestive aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density digestive aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at caldensity.com.
Since the beginning, the stallions at Claiborne Farm have made an unprecedented impact on the Breeders' Cup. These stallions have sired more winners and more Breeders' Cup races than any other stud farm in the world.
Once again, the line has circled, has done it!
When the best horses from across the globe compete in the Breeders' Cup, you can bet the Claiborne Stallions will make their mark. Claiborne Farm. Firmly at the heart of the Breeders' Cup.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
End of the stretch, Teppan takes the lead now, coming to the eighth pole, and now Teppan hits another gear. Teppan is just opening up with every stride. A late run from My Miss Sophia. She goes from fifth to second, but well behind Teppan and Julianne Leperoux. When he said it was time to go, it was over. Teppan just toys with the field and the first lady. Impressive romp by Teppan. Was a long way back to Crowley's Law in second, and then My Miss Sophia.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on this Breeders' Cup Saturday morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and the familiar tones of Kurt Becker in his 19th season as the Keeneland announcer, the only announcer Keeneland has ever had in its illustrious history. And Teppan winning the first lady for trainer Mark Cassie. We'll see her in action later this afternoon as she tackles the boys in the Breeders' Cup mile.
Yeah, that was an impressive performance, and we don't know if she's capable of beating the field she's in against today, but if she runs like she did last time, she's going to be pretty salty.
Well, as we mentioned, Kurt Becker typically joins us on so many of our broadcasts throughout the year, but not this afternoon, as he will be busy calling his very first Breeders' Cup, and we thought it would be nice for you to get to know Keeneland's only announcer, Kurt Becker. Kurt Becker, the 46-year-old native of Altamont, Illinois, was hired as Keeneland's announcer in April of 1997. He has called nearly every race over that span, missing just one weekend in the spring of 1999 due to illness, and he remains the only announcer ever hired by Keeneland. Kurt, when I say that and you hear those words, what goes through your mind?
One thing I remember was coming down to Keeneland back in September of 96 to talk to Bill Greeley, who was president of the track. And I had actually gotten out of thoroughbred racing. I had called races in Chicago and had moved from there back to my hometown as a base to work for Motor Racing Network covering NASCAR racing. And Bill Greeley had reached out to me and said, we're putting in a public address system at Keeneland. And I had the impression they were looking for someone that wasn't at that time affiliated with another parimutuel racetrack. They wanted their own sound was what it boiled down to. And I remember coming down here and I thought, I had a great time in Chicago. I love horse racing. Then again, NASCAR has given me this opportunity. I'm committed to them right now. And I came down here with the intention of saying to Mr. Greeley, respectfully, I was going to have to decline. When I walked onto the grounds here at Keeneland that day and he showed me around and took me to his office, I remember looking out his window and you could see the walking ring behind the grandstand and it just came out, yeah, I'll take the job.
I can only imagine what it was like for you to get that phone call. And you're a bit of a historian, so you realize what you're involved with here and how much a part of racing history you are here at Keeneland. That had to be unbelievable.
I can still remember I was at the Pocono Raceway in Long Pond, Pennsylvania, for a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series weekend in July of 96, and that was pretty much still the era of landlines. And my boss at Motor Racing Network, John McMullen, said there's a phone call up here in the booth from a Bill Greeley at Keeneland Racecourse, and he wants to talk to you. And, I mean, it did. It stopped me in my tracks. I grew up in the standardbred business, and for many years my father, Carl, was the announcer for the fall trots at the Red Mile in Lexington. And he actually briefly helped out at some of the Keeneland sales. I mean, this goes back around 1980, 81, as one of the auction announcers or pedigree readers. He worked maybe two or three sales here when they got into a bind. So I remember growing up, even though I was in a harness racing family, I was keenly aware of what Keeneland Racecourse was, what it is, and what it meant to horse racing. So, yeah, when that word came off the tongue of my boss at NASCAR, it certainly got my attention.
So what does it mean to Kurt Becker to be part of racing history in this way?
It's a little overwhelming just because I grew up in a town of 2,300 people in central Illinois. And, I grew up around folks that I've always said they work real jobs. They work hard for a living, you know. They farm. They work at local factories. They raise families. They have real responsibilities. And I never would have imagined when I was growing up as a kid and I would go with my dad. My dad announced a lot of Midwest County and State Fair harness and thoroughbred races. As a kid, my goal as a child, I thought, you know, what my dad does looks fun. And I just want to do what he does. I thought I'd just be happy doing county fairs, state fairs, and so on. Never in a million years wouldn't have imagined any of this. Whether it's Keeneland, whether it was my time at Churchill, Chicago, I've been very blessed.
Could you ever imagine you would still be here 18 years later?
No, and I'll tell you why. Whether it's my public life or my private life, I seem to have commitment issues. and I remember Tom Durkin, the legendary race caller. He was the host of a televised thoroughbred program at the time that I was hired here at Keeneland. And I can remember sitting down with Tom. We sat here in the grandstand, and he said, all right. He said, so you've got the job at Keeneland. What is your long-term goal? And he brought this up, you know, how long do you see yourself staying in this role? And I can still remember laughing and saying, you know, I said, regrettably, I only stayed for 2 years in Chicago. And I said, I've been with NASCAR for three. Now I'm coming back to the horse racing industry. I said, maybe it's time for me to buckle down and show a little commitment. And I can remember that when Tom produced the piece, the way he put it together, he said, oh, it's springtime, and in springtime, young men have to think about commitment.
Tell me about your first race call here at Keeneland.
I can remember that our director of communications, Jim Williams, who's retired now and for whom the press box is named, Jim was adamant that he did not want me to have to deal with the pressure of the media literally videotaping, being in my booth, standing on the balcony outside the booth. So the first thing I recall is the fact that he refused to allow any direct media access until race two that day. Probably was being a bit overprotective, but yet I appreciated the approach that he took. I just remember coming in, and the main thing that I recall about the first day was being very tepid, low-key, not wanting to rock the boat since Keeneland had gone 60 years without a public address system. And I don't know, maybe I went too far that direction, because at the end of the day, I was on the elevator headed downstairs with Cott Campbell of Dogwood Stable, and someone introduced me to Mr. Campbell. He said, oh, he said, so you're the track announcer. I said, yeah. He said, couldn't understand a word you said all day.
Well, Keeneland is one track that maybe more than any other venue in the world of sports cherishes their traditions and their history. And to break tradition and to break that history by bringing in an announcer to this racetrack was unparalleled, obviously, and you're the only one that's ever done it. What was the reception like from fans and from horsemen when you first started?
I can remember one of the first articles that was written about it after the hiring. I can remember in one of the trade journals in the industry, the editor-in-chief, the executive editor, had written the piece in which he said, I can't believe what Keeneland's done. He said, it's bad enough that they're putting in a PA system. And he said, now they're bringing in a NASCAR guy? Seriously? And I remember reading that, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm not sure what to expect when I get to town. But the thing I recall, once we actually got up and running after that first day of calling races here in April of 97, a lot of the local media, the Lexington Herald Leader, the Louisville Courier Journal, they had sent reporters through the crowd to gauge their reaction. And surprisingly to me, it was the younger fans who one might think would be more receptive to change. The younger fans seemed to be the ones that did not care for having a PA system. They didn't really like it. Their take was, you know what, we wanted to inherit the same Keeneland tradition that our parents and our grandparents had. It was the older generation that actually seemed more receptive. And seriously, I remember one gentleman saying that his wife, they were an aged couple, and he said, my wife's eyesight is not as good as it used to be. She struggles to see the racetrack. And he said, I'm glad they have a track announcer who can describe the action. So I remember being taken aback by that. I would have thought it might have been just the opposite.
Visiting with the voice of Keeneland, Kurt Becker, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, you mentioned that when they approached you, they wanted somebody that maybe didn't have as much experience with calling thoroughbred races, and you certainly fit that bill. You didn't have a lot of experience at that point.
That's true. My thoroughbred experience had been limited to, I had two seasons at the old Sportsman's Park in Cicero near Chicago. I had done one season at Hawthorne Racecourse in Stickney near Chicago, and I had done two summers at Arlington Park. And my understanding, and I didn't learn this till years later, but the late Russell Reinemann, the Chicago businessman who owned a lot of prominent racehorses back in the day, he was good friends with a couple of folks who served at that time on the Keeneland board. And I believe Keeneland had explored some possibilities. My understanding is they had had some talks with some folks like Tom Durkin in New York and Trevor Denman in California. Those gentlemen were tied down, obviously, to a year-round circuit. It was difficult for them to go to their bosses and say, I need 6 weeks off each year to go to Lexington. So at that point, then, they started looking for someone that they could claim as their own unique voice. And Mr. Reinemann, as I understand, contacted some of the folks that he knew on the board, and he said, look, if that's the case, there's a guy that used to call races in Chicago. I think he would have the sound that would suit the atmosphere at Keeneland, and if that's what you want, if you want somebody who isn't currently identified with another peer mutual track, he's been doing motorsports, he's been gone from our business for, you know, 2 or 3 years, he might be the guy you want to talk to.
You still work with MRN and broadcasting motorsports on radio, and even though there's horsepower involved with both sports, so to speak, they're completely different. How challenging is it, and what are some of those challenges when you're going from calling motorsports on radio to calling a horse race?
The biggest difference is with any given horse race, or any given day of horse racing, you will have 9 or 10 races. So if you have an average of, say, 10 horses per race, you're going to have, 90, 100 different horses. You've got all those different owner silks that the jockeys wear, and, of course, the owner silks being the primary way a track announcer will identify who the horse is. You've got all those different silks to memorize from race to race throughout the course of the afternoon, and, again, roughly 100 names of horses to have to get ingrained into your mind. With NASCAR, with motorsports, you've got the benefit. You have a field of 43 drivers that are pretty well consistent from week to week throughout the course of the year. Same driver in the same car from week to week with the same paint scheme. So the memorization, once you get it down at the season opener in Daytona, you're pretty well good to go. The other difference is with horse racing, from race to race, you've got a minute, 10 seconds, a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes at the most to get everything done, everybody called, get them in the right position. With Motor Racing Network, I'm part of a team of broadcasters, and we're all working together to bring storylines as well as play-by-play to an audience over the course of a 2 to 3 hour broadcast. So in that regard, there can be arguably more pressure, at least as far as I'm concerned, in calling a horse race, because I start looking around and I don't have those other guys to fall back on. It's, you know, if once something comes off my tongue and disappears into the microphone at a horse race, there's no taking it back and there's no time to really go back and correct it. So that's where a great sense of the pressure comes for me.
You've had the privilege to call a couple of Kentucky Derbies when you were working at Churchill Downs. Now you're going to have a new challenge in front of you. When you come to the Breeders' Cup, you've never called the Breeders' Cup before. You mentioned trying to get all the names down and get all the players correct, and it all falls on you. You're the man in the spotlight. Tell me about that challenge.
Well, the first thing that helps me a lot, and not just because we're sitting here doing this interview, but you and your staff at Horse Racing Radio Network have been kind enough to have me involved as an analyst on your Breeders' Cup coverage going back to 2009. That's big for me. That helps me a lot just because having had several years of being on site covering the Breeders' Cup in some fashion, it doesn't seem so foreign and quite so overwhelming to me. Now, with that said, this will be a new role for me this year, actually doing the track call and the call for HRRN for these races. I'm glad the timing is falling where it has, and here's what I mean by that. I'm 46 years old. This is my 19th season at Keeneland. I have often said, I don't mind growing older. I don't mind looking at my driver's license and realizing I'm fast approaching age 50. Because with those years of experience, even for a guy like me who can be uptight and high-strung and nervous on big race days, I've gotten to a point now where I've learned to relax and enjoy the moment. You know, whether the calls go well, whether they go poorly, whether they fall somewhere in between, and there probably will be elements of all of that throughout the course of the 2 days, I've learned to realize, be happy that you have a chance to be, A, involved with this sport, much less be involved with it at this level. And, you know, the sun comes up the next day, and you move on, and we'll go right into the November breeding stock sale here at Keeneland, where I serve as one of the auction announcers, and then there's a whole new challenge. But obviously, you do want to, with the Breeders' Cup, I think the key for any announcer, you want to give a call that is enthusiastic, that is accurate, and also respects the dignity of the situation. One of the marvelous things about this 2 days of racing, it offers a little bit of everything. A lot of color, a lot of fanfare, and yet the majesty of this sport. You know, I've got friends in NASCAR who will say to me, I love the fact that on Triple Crown days and Breeders' Cup days, you know, I'll tune in on TV or listen on the radio and I'll hear you guys describe the scene, and, you know, the gentlemen still wear their coats and the ladies are in their dresses and hats, and they said, wait, that is wonderful that horse racing has retained that aspect over the years. So you want to enhance that atmosphere, and you want to do it in a way that suits the atmosphere.
Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker here on the Horse Racing Radio Network taking the time to sit down with me. That is part one of his interview. Part two is coming up next, but it's always great to hear from Kurt and hear his thoughts on what this moment means to him. Again, part two coming up next right after this short break. Typically, you're Lexus Legends of the Turf, but in deference to all of our special guests on this Breeders' Cup Saturday morning, we'll just get to a commercial break, a word from Lexus, and we're back with more here on the Equine Forum.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge will be offering offspring owned by leading breeders Judmont Farm and George Strawbridge, among others, at the upcoming Keeneland November sale. Often offered without reserve, this is an opportunity to get into families rarely offered otherwise. In addition, the Millridge consignments include weanlings by Bernardini, Candy Ride, Lawn Row, Quality Road, and Point of Entry. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Power. Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canarias, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Phantom. Late run from Edeldor. Carrick Gondi, Edeldor.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Caracanti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracanti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. He returns to defend his title October 31st at Keeneland. Caracanti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Racing on towards the final quarter mile, it's Integral, who still holds sway. Irish Rookie makes the effort towards the outside. Ray Dara back in third. Esso Tariq trying to get going now, then Fadi Yil and Maymara on towards the final fell on their head, and it's still Integral with the lead from Irish Rookie. Esso Tariq is now out after Integral as they head up towards the final half furlong. Integral looking to dig in. Esso Tariq is on terms though, and Esso Tariq now gets to the front under Pierre Charles Boudot to win the Sun Chariot Stakes. Out in front, Esso Tariq beat Integral, tight for third. Fadi Yil involved there with Rialtra and Irish Rookie all close up behind.
Esso Tariq, the five-year-old mare, one of the main contenders in this afternoon's Breeders' Cup Mile for trainer Andre Fobb, winning the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes. And boy, is she consistent, JT.
Yeah, she's such a nice filly. And Andre Fobb, one of the great trainers in the world. Big chance this afternoon.
All right, we're going to continue with part two of our visit with Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker. Don't forget, you're going to hear from trainer Maria Burrell coming up later in the first half of this program, as well as owner Ken Ramsey in the second half of the show, and trainer Mark Cassie coming up in hour number two as well. Stay with us. Here's part two, Kurt Becker. With the Breeders' Cup, there was always so much international participation, and because of that, you're going to be seeing silks and colors and horses that you are completely unfamiliar with. What challenges does that present?
Thank goodness we live in the day and age of technology, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. Whether horses are based in the U.S., Canada, Europe, Ireland, wherever they might be coming from, I love the fact that in order to prepare for the Breeders' Cup, whether it's myself as the track announcer and Larry Colmus for NBC, I assume, would tell you something similar. It's great to be able to go online, and you can go to YouTube or to a race replay channel and pull up video footage. And one of the things I've been doing, I will pull these races up in a full-screen format. So we'll use an obvious example. If you take a horse like American Pharoah, for not that one's not familiar with him by now, but pull him up. Freeze the shot where I want it, take my iPhone, snap a picture off the video screen, and then what I essentially do is make a set of flashcards, and I will just start scrolling through those pictures, and I've been doing that over the course of the last couple of weeks. And the other thing that's good is this, especially for horses running on the dirt, You're right. You have to be familiar with the colors, and you better be familiar with how those colors might look when they turn for home in that final furlong, and those jocks are covered with mud and dirt, especially the ones coming from the back of the pack. Keen Ice is a great example. He's a horse that tends to come from off the pace. So, okay, fine. He comes on the track for the Classic, and he's got those Donegal Racing silks that are, you know, bright green and gold, and you think, okay, well, those are easy to spot. But when he's coming from off the pace, if you go back and pull up the gallop out shot, like from the Traverse, for example, and there's so much dirt over those silks, you know, you have to really struggle to find those glimpses of green and gold. So I like getting familiar with how those horses on the dirt in particular are going to look, how those silks are going to look in that final furlong.
You've been in that position before, though, and that brings us to a race which I know you've told me on many occasions, if you could have one call back, it might be the 2004 Darley Alcibiades.
There's no question about it. That was the year that Alabama came to Lexington to play the University of Kentucky at Commonwealth Stadium in a football game. So one of my NASCAR colleagues, Eli Gold, is also the voice of the Crimson Tide. So he called up and he said, hey, I've never been to Keeneland. I have never watched you call a horse race. He said, I'd love to come out. He said, I enjoy horse racing. So can I come and join you? And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, as long as he doesn't come out for the feature, get him out here early in the day, 1 o'clock, 2 p.m., we'll be fine. I said, well, what time do you want to come? He said, I've got some responsibilities on Friday at Commonwealth, but he said, I could be there maybe around 5 p.m. Well, of course, that's post time for the feature. So the feature was the Alcibiades, $500,000 grade 1, 2-year old filly race. So Eli's in the booth, and I've got so much respect for him, as probably as nervous as I've ever been calling a race. So he's standing there next to me, and the horses come out of the gate, and I think it was maybe a 10-horse field. And I'm going along, and by the time they're heading up the backstretch, I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. I'm in a flow. Everybody's getting a couple of fillies make a move around the final turn. I'm all over that. And, of course, it's the short stretch. It's a mile and a 16th race. So they're going to be finishing well before they ever get back to where the announcer's booth is. And I'm thinking, that's fine. I've got this. Well, all of a sudden, here came a filly from the back of the pack way outside. I could not tell for the life of me who she was, and it was Runway Model, who ends up winning the race. And she never got a call tell her nose, I mean, hit the wire. That was the only call she got. The owner, Naveed Chauhan, has red, white, and blue silks. Rafael Bejarano was the jockey. Coming from the back of the pack was just covered with dirt and with mud, and those silks, goes to that earlier point, they looked brown. And I'm thinking, there is nobody in here that's got brown silks. Who in the hell is this? Well, it was Runway Model. So she finally gets that call. And the only reason she did, Rafael, as he was twirling his whip, he turned his arm and he turned his shoulder just enough where I could see the number 8 on his sleeve. And my hands were shaking. I mean, my heart was down in my gut. So I had to grab the program, and I found where number 8 was Runway Model. That was the only thing that saved me.
All right, if that's the one call that you would like to have back, let's flip it around. What's the one call that Kurt Becker is probably most proud of in your tenure here at Keeneland?
So many of these things are the ones that are freshest in your mind as the years go by. So with that said, I'll tell you one of the races that I enjoyed calling the most and had the most fun with, perhaps, of any call I've done at Keeneland. It was one at this current October race meet that we just wrapped up. I looked at the program, and the entries came out, and there was an allowance race on the grass. And lo and behold, there's Zaw Approval from the barn of Mark Cassie for the Live Oak Plantation. And Zaw Approval is a 7-year-old gelding who has been through so many prominent racing battles. I mean, this horse, you know, you would see him at the Breeders' Cup Mile, for example. And Mike, I remember going to Santa Anita, and you know, he would be 8-1, 10-1, 12-1, and he would hit the board. I mean, he may not win those types of races, but I would always walk away saying, man, that horse always gives an honest account of himself. And as a racing fan, I kind of fell in love with him over the years. Well, it was fun to see him in a spot where he had a legitimate chance to stand out and be the best. And at the top of the home stretch, that was just a couple of weeks ago, I can remember that the jockey moved him out to the center of the course. He was coming from the back of the pack. And if ever a horse looked confident, this horse did. You could almost see it coming down the stretch as he was running past the field. It was like Zaw Approval just swelled up and said to himself, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, you know, I own this place today. And I had a lot of fun with the stretch call. And I even referenced, you know, how many memorable races he'd been in over the years. And it was fun to see him have a chance to shine.
Visiting with Keeneland track announcer Kurt Becker on the Horse Racing Radio Network. When you talk about your profession and you talk about the sport, your enthusiasm is contagious. Where did that love of horse racing begin for Kurt Becker?
You know, it began growing up in the household of my mom and dad in Central Illinois, because even though they were standardbred folks and loved the standardbred business, they had an appreciation for horse racing of all breeds. I mean, we would sit down, we would watch the Triple Crown series each year in the spring. My father, at one time back in the 60s, had been a standardbred steward on the St. Louis circuit. Dave Johnson was the race caller there at that time, so my dad and Dave had developed a friendship, which they still have today. So when Dave began doing the Triple Crown, that added an extra dimension for us to want to gather around the TV and watch. And I know that my dad has always been, and my mom too, they would always comment over the years. One of the things that they would say, and this goes to the heart of your question about where did you pick up this enthusiasm? Here we were, a standardbred family. And I can remember as a kid when we would sit down and we'd watch the telecast of the Kentucky Derby, and they would have that shot of the horses one by one loading into the starting gate, and the jockeys would get situated in the saddle. You would see them lower their goggles into place, you know, and take one final check to the left, to the right, and get situated, get ready. My folks often commented that in all the world of sport, not just horse racing, but the world of sport, that was one of the most dramatic television shots and one of the most dramatic moments you will ever see in the sports world. So I grew up in a household where my parents picked up on things like that. They talked about how much respect they had for horse racing, not just within the standardbred breed, but elsewhere. And my dad told me, he told me when I was a kid, he said, you're going to find out. He said, you'll never outgrow this.
Kurt Becker here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Jude, a friend of ours, a colleague, we've known him for a long time. Again, the only announcer that Keeneland has ever known. And now here he is calling his first Breeders' Cup after all these years. And to do it at his home track is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's really fantastic. I mean, when you think about it, the guy's the only announcer Keeneland's ever had. He's not an old guy.
No, you know, not even 50.
Yeah.
47, I think.
Is that what he is? I had no idea.
46.
But, I mean, he's a very interesting guy as well. He's had a rich life, a long history in thoroughbred racing. And, of course, you factor in his NASCAR work and very professional. As a matter of fact, Sean Clancy said the other day that we told him Kurt wasn't going to be with us, you know, on the broadcast, and he goes, well, that's the only professional guy we got.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was kind of true. I mean, Kurt's really a very polished broadcaster and does a great job, and we will miss having him on the broadcast with us, but we'll still have a few snippets here and there from Kurt, and that's going to be great.
Yeah, we will. Kurt, of course, will handle the radio calls for us here on the network this afternoon. Larry Colmus will have the NBC television calls, but looking forward to involving Kurt in that capacity. And you're also going to hear his post parades when the horses come onto the track, which is something that will at least make people feel as if they are here at Keeneland with us on this Breeders' Cup Saturday, and that should be a lot of fun as well. And we hope you enjoyed that little taste of Kurt Becker and getting to know him just a little bit more as we've gotten to know him over the years, and looking forward to his calls this afternoon. Looking forward to the remainder of this first hour of the program, because after our next commercial break, we're going to be joined, well, not joined by, but we're going to hear from trainer Maria Burrell, who sends out Run Happy in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. She joined us on our Breeders' Cup Countdown earlier this week, and we'll hear her comments on Run Happy and his chances later this afternoon.
Yeah, it was very interesting to meet her. You don't picture her as a trainer. When you think of the word trainer, you think of some old crusty guy with a pork pie hat and manure
like
on their shoes, kind of like me. Yeah, but here you see this very thin, petite, beautiful girl with kind of a nice girly kind of voice,
and pretty girl.
You would not pick her out of a lineup. She should go in to tell the truth, because she would win every time. Yeah.
Well, she told us the truth about Run Happy, and that's coming up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 20 years. Only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa. Direct from Washington State, and with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
Introducing to Spendthrift for 2016, Wicked Strong, the multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire and best son of Danzig's leading sire, Hardspun. Wicked Strong won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial as a 3-year-old, becoming the fastest winner of that prestigious Derby prep in a decade. Wicked Strong will compete next in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile before retiring at the end of the year to Spendthrift. For more information on Wicked Strong, call us toll-free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage.
Joined by Coach Bill Parcells, who led the New York Giants to the Super Bowl in both 1986 and 1990. And yes, he won both of those. What do you remember about the day that you won your first race?
I just remember being excited. It's the same feeling you get when they kick the ball off in football and they put that horse in the gate and your name's on it. It's a little like football, but you have absolutely no control in horse racing. And in football, at least, you have a little bit of control in game management and decisions that are made. But it's just the luck of the draw, but that doesn't reduce the excitement. The excitement's the same, the adrenaline's the same, and when that horse goes in there, you know, you're definitely paying attention.
Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Here's work all week from the outside. Barbados looking for some running room. They've got to catch Run Happy. Gentleman's Bet is there toward the inside. Run Happy past the eighth pole has the lead. Work all week is second. Barbados third. Gentleman's Bet is fourth. Front running style here for the three-year-old Run Happy. Drifting out in deep stretch, but he's got it. Run Happy wins it for Edgar Prado. Close for second, Barbados, or work all week for the runner-up spot in 1:09.45.
Run Happy. Kurt Becker with the call of that Phoenix Stakes right here at Keeneland on opening weekend. And boy, Run Happy has been running happy since he got into the care of trainer Maria Burrell. He's undefeated, including that huge win in the Phoenix. And Jude, here's a horse that goes postward this afternoon in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And, you know, one thing about Run Happy, he's very, very quick, likes to be in front. Doesn't always break all that well, though.
No, he doesn't, but he's one of the fastest horses I've ever seen. I mean, he really flies. And it's going to be interesting to watch him today. They've done some gate work with him. They've changed his chamois to keep his saddle from slipping. Lots of different things they've changed. And he didn't need much help to do anything. He's very fast.
Well, we do welcome everybody back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And keep in mind that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners
in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, just visit lanesend.com. Well, we told you that Maria Burrell, the trainer of Run Happy, stopped by to visit with us on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show earlier this week, and here's what she had to say about her Breeders' Cup Sprint contender. Maria, what makes him so special?
He's freaky fast, and he's got a great personality. He's like no colt I've ever been around. You know, you can do anything with him, and he's so much personality. He's like a dog. You know when he's hungry. You know when he wants a mint. That gives you a dirty look if you come out of the office and you don't have a peppermint. Like, he knows, like, hello, what are you doing? Where's my mint? But he's just an awesome horse. I mean, I don't know. Probably the best horse I'll ever have in my life, I'm sure.
You know, I love the way she worked in the words freaky fast.
I know.
On the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Jimmy Johns, right? Perfect.
Oh,
freaky fast and freaky good.
See, look at that.
We might have to cut that out and use it as a commercial.
Yeah. Tell me about getting him into your barn. I mentioned he's 4-for-4 since you've had him. Right?
Yeah.
What's been the key to the success?
You know, we just had to teach him to learn to relax a little bit. I mean, he was, as a 2-year-old, he was running off with a bunch of riders. I heard they had a hard time keeping exercise riders. He's very green in his maiden win, zigzagging all over the place, as you guys all saw. So the biggest thing was just teaching him to relax a little bit, took off the blinkers and, you know, try to teach him some of his breezes. Even though some of them were like a minute flat, I was having the riders like, okay, he's going to go a 10 probably. We'll try to get him to come back to you a little bit and then finish up on the stretch. Of course, it's hard to get him to come back around the turns. He likes the turns. We know that now.
You found that out.
Yeah.
Marie, describe the moment when you realized how good he is. I mean, was that early on? When did you think, wow, this horse is like a Breeders' Cup Sprint type horse?
Well, I mean, before I even got the horse in the barn and they gave me his name and I, of course, watched his maiden win, I was like, okay, what do I have to do to get this horse in the barn to get you guys to hire me? And then the first time I saw him breeze and I had called Laura and joked around, I said, Laura Wooler's racing manager, I was like, you know, I wouldn't bother trying to stretch him out this year. I was like, make money sprinting him, and I think he's good enough. I think he's fast enough for the sprint if we can get him to race and not just run around like a banshee.
And how long did that take? I mean, what kind of exercise to try to get him to settle or slow down? What were
like
they
I like? Said, just trying to breeze him, get him to come back and not go all out all the time. And I think he's learned a lot in every race. I mean, I think between Indiana and Ellis, he learned a lot. Definitely a big improvement between Ellis and Saratoga. I mean, it's hard. I don't have horses to breeze with him. Nobody wants to breeze with him. So what can I do?
That's where the Jude Feld saddle towels come in handy. Just ask Bob Baffert.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, in each of his last two wins, in the King's Bishop up at Saratoga and then the Phoenix, he's broken kind of a step slow, but then in the blink of an eye, he's in front. Any concern there if he doesn't get off to a good start in the Breeders' Cup Sprint?
Well, I'm not worried as long as no one comes in on us, but hopefully we'll break sharper. I think the Phoenix had a couple things going on. I think I talked to you about that as well. I think he knew the track was bad. He was tripping a little bit in the post-parade, and he takes care of himself a little bit. And also, you know, he had a tibia stress fracture as a 2-year-old coming to 3-year-old, and I think he remembers, and I think it takes him a couple strides to, like, be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I think he remembers.
Tell me about the other members of the Burrell team and the Run Happy team that are involved with this horse and getting him ready.
Well, of course, we have famous Cordell Anderson, who's been all over the Blood Horse, a bunch of covers, the top sales ring guy for Keeneland, of course. And we've got Omar, who's the best exercise rider. He's been so good at getting Run Happy to relax. And Laura Wooler's the racing manager. I mean, I wouldn't be here without her, you know. And we're all a great team. And Mac's great. He's a great owner. He's always very supportive and very positive and says thank you. And it's been amazing. It's been a lot of fun.
TaylorMade takes full credit for your success.
I'm sure they do. I was joking around them. I was like, you got to get Cordell and I in ties and put like a TaylorMade graduate pad.
Oh, they will. Don't worry. They will.
I know.
How much do you allow yourself to think of what the moment might be like if you win the Breeders' Cup Sprint?
I'm just trying not to think about it because then I will get nervous. I'm just trying to treat it like any other race. He doesn't know who he's racing. I'm trying not to think about it. But Laura, she jokes around. She's like, you're not going to black out, are you, if he wins? Like, I hope not. I don't know. Because I cried at Saratoga like a little baby, but I figured I would if he did.
Can the horse sense that if you're not composed, if you get a little
uptight? Oh, yeah, they know how you feel. Yeah, for sure.
So you have to be really careful to maintain your composure so that he maintains his.
Yeah, everyone asks me, like, what about racing against the big guys? I'm like, I honestly just focus on the horse and just race by race. I mean, that's it. I just try not to think about the rest. Because then I probably will get nervous, honestly. I'm sure once he's on the track, my heart's going to be pounding.
Yeah.
Until then, I try to just not think about it.
One other thing before I let you go. I saw a video yesterday of him
waking up
in the stall, and he's like trying to get me out of bed in the morning, right? You have to kind of keep urging him, and he likes to hit snooze a lot, right? Tell me
yeah.
about that.
Oh, he loves to sleep. He doesn't sleep 20 hours a day like everyone keeps saying. That's a bit extreme, but he does love to sleep. He naps all the time. He takes care of himself. You know, he's a smart horse. But I always make fun of Cordell. He makes a Cordell-pedic bed. He's like 3 bales of straw of bedding, so I would want to lay there all day, too.
Cordell-pedic, I like that.
Cordell-pedic, yeah. Maybe we'll be next to Max Mattress Line.
How long does it take you to wake him up in the morning?
You know, usually he's basically on our schedule. Just that morning he slept in. Usually he's on our schedule. He knows, you know. He sleeps in until about 5:15, gets up, and after he trains, he takes a nap and then eats his lunch. And he's usually on our schedule. We usually don't have to do that.
Has a light snack, watches a little soap opera.
Yeah. No, he's funny. He does do that. He'll leave some food for later. He always cleans up, but he always like eats half and leaves half and then eats it up for the rest of the night. He's hilarious.
Such a cool horse. Run Happy in today's Breeders' Cup Sprint. And trying to wake him up in the morning, not too easy. Maybe the line of the week, Cordell-pedic.
Yeah, Cordell-pedic, I love that. you listen to that interview, and of course we've had a lot of other trainers on, and it's just it's refreshing, actually. I mean, she talks about how silly the horse is, and you don't hear the old hard boots talking like that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting take, and it goes to show that there's a lot of different ways to approach this business, and she's young and enthusiastic and obviously loves her horse. So, that's cool.
You can see why. All the horse does is win.
Well, yeah, but, the thing that I always liked about having women work for me on the track, and they're like that. They love their horses, and they play with them, and they have their little idiosyncrasies, and yeah. they want to buy them balls, and, he's so cute. He eats half of his hay now and half of his hay later. They pick up on those things where most of the guys that work on the track, they're very businesslike and here and there, and they don't take time to have that affinity for the animal like the women do.
We're going to continue with this Equine Forum show, hour number two, coming up next. A very busy second half of the program. We'll tell you all about it right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge will be offering offspring owned by leading breeders Judmont Farm and George Strawbridge, among others, at the upcoming Keeneland November sale. Often offered without reserve, this is an opportunity to get into families rarely offered otherwise. In addition, the Millridge consignments include weanlings by Bernardini, Candy Ride, Lawn Row, Quality Road, and Point of Entry. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
And they're off to New York, the premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, with you and ready to roll on this Breeders' Cup Saturday, a fun Breeders' Cup Friday. Now looking forward to day number two. Of course, the disappointment earlier this week of hearing that Beholder would be scratched from the Breeders' Cup Classic, that showdown with Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, unfortunately not going to happen. But it is still an outstanding nine-race program this afternoon, at least in terms of the nine races that are Breeders' Cup races. There's, of course, a few lead-in races here at Keeneland as well.
Yeah, it's a really good card, and you know, it's going to be a fantastic day. Look, really looking forward to it. I mean, the races are deep and strong, and even the undercard races are super.
Yeah, and I would bet you some people will say, oh, well, the American Pharoah team has to be thrilled that Beholder is not in there now because she looked like the main danger and maybe the one to beat, quite frankly. I can tell you that that is not the case, because when you talk to those connections, the Zayats, Bob Baffert, they want to face the best, right? They want to compete. They wanted Beholder in there. I'm sure that they did. So I'm sure they're just as disappointed as everybody else.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. I mean, you want your horse to win against the best horses available. I mean, that's what this race is all about. It's about glory. You know, it's about the dream of having a horse of the absolute top caliber. And all the horses in the race are very, very good horses, but you want to compete against the best so that you can have that bragging right, so that everyone knows that you have the best thoroughbred in North America.
Of course, that race comes up right around 5:35 Eastern this afternoon, may go just a few minutes past that. You'll hear that race and all the Breeders' Cup action exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are here with you for the ninth consecutive year as the exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup, and that coverage this afternoon, all presented by our friends at Cal Density. If you missed any portion of the first half of this show, our interview with Kurt Becker or Maria Burrell, you can go back and listen to a podcast at horseracingradio.net. It will be available for you this week and every week. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. Jude, one other owner that is always prominent in big races, especially on Breeders' Cup Day, is Ken Ramsey. He's an Eclipse Award-winning owner, an Eclipse Award-winning breeder. And this afternoon, he has Big Blue Kitten going in the Breeders' Cup Turf. He has Bobby's Kitten, the defending champ in the Turf Sprint. And he has Shining Copper in that Breeders' Cup Turf as well, acting as a rabbit, as they call it in the business, a pace setter.
Yeah, that's what he likes to call it.
Yeah, he does.
A rabbit. He said he's running a bunch of kittens and a rabbit.
Well, earlier this week, Ken took the time to stop by our Breeders' Cup Countdown show, and here's what he had to say about the Breeders' Cup Turf, the Turf Sprint, and even betting the Breeders' Cup.
and he's probably the most consistent horse that I've ever owned. In other words, he's I didn't say the most more consistent than Golden Horn. I said more consistent than anything I've ever owned. But he's been in the money 26 out of 29 times. And the one time he went to Europe to run in a Royal Ascot and caught it, didn't ship all that well. So in the United States, he's 27 out of 29. That's about as consistent as you can get over a seven-year period.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Phenomenal. I know you're a huge fan of Big Blue Kitten.
Oh, I love him. I think he's just great. He fires every time, and that's all you can ask of a horse, really. And I'm very excited. He's going to stud now. He's going to stand at Calumet. Is that right?
Going to stand at Calumet. It could be a big day for the Big Blue on Saturday because Big Blue Kitten could win out here, and Kentucky could knock off Tennessee that night. So that would be a true Big Blue day. That's who he's named for, my alma mater, University of Kentucky.
Yeah, it would be a tremendous effort. How about tackling a horse like Golden Horn? How tall of a task is that?
Well, we're trying to double up on him. I've got what they would call a pacemaker over there in England. But I've got one called Shining Copper, and he's in there to, make sure there's a lively pace. So I think that's going to be an assist to us. Nobody's going to be able to steal the race except Shining Copper, and he's probably not good enough to go a mile and a half, but he's good enough to go a mile or a mile and a quarter, and I think that's going to change the flow of the race.
Yeah, and keep the pace honest,
keep
for sure.
Keep the pace honest.
And that's a concept you came up with a couple of races ago with Shining Copper, because I can remember visiting with you before the Arlington Million, and you had Shining Copper in there. He almost stole the race on you that day.
Almost stole the race. I think it would have been really hustling to try to win and raid him a little bit. Mike could have pulled it off, but that wasn't his mission, and we didn't get there that day. But when you have a pacemaker in there, and by the way, Frankel never went to post without a pacemaker. And even in the Ark, they had a pacemaker in there, not for Golden Horn, but for Treve. And, of course, how the pacemaker was on the inside and Golden Horn was on the outside, so it didn't really affect him that much. But in this race, we're right next door to him, so it could change the flow of the race.
Yeah. It's one of those things that is done in Great Britain all the time. Not very often here in the United States. Not as much as they do in Europe. But it's been effective so far. And Shining Copper, he's a pretty good horse in his own right. He gets out there and tries pretty hard every time he runs.
He's well worth the $62,500 I claimed him for. And after you finish this little mission, we may want to take him down to Barbados to run the Barbados Gold Cup.
Yeah.
That's
nobody's ever pulled off a hat trick down there. Sir David Seals won twice back-to-back, but not three times in a row. So we'd be setting a little history down there the first Saturday in March if we could pull it off. And this is the kind of horse could absolutely just blow their doors off and never look back.
And I think you should take HRN down there to cover that race, that historic event.
The weather's nice.
You need your own personal radio network down there.
The weather is nice down there. The beaches are beautiful. The sand, the water's turquoise. Great place to go on vacation.
How about your defending champ in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint? That's Bobby's Kitten, who Jude and I were talking about this on the program a couple weeks ago. I think that he could be a very sneaky play in there because he was very keen in his prep race here at Keeneland.
He is one of my favorite horses. I know he's had a lot of ups and downs, up and down. We've been playing musical chairs with jockeys, and we come full circle. We started out with Castellano, and he rode him out there in the first Breeders' Cup Turf. I thought he let him get him away. I'm sitting here looking now, real fast fractions, and so we decided we need to change jockeys. So we had a couple other guys, and I mean, like one of them choked him to death the last time trying to raid him, and that didn't work. So put him in the sprint, and he won't be on the lead in the sprint. He'll just go out there and do his thing, and because they're fast enough, they'll be in front of him, and he'll settle in, and he's my second choice. I think Big Blue's probably got the best chance, but he's a big price, and Bobby's Kitten, nothing wrong with him. He's his own worst enemy. I'm going to stand him at stud. I think he's one of my best prospects to stand at stud. We sold the other horse, to Calumet Big Blue, and also sold him Real Solution. I'm going to keep Bobby's Kitten. I may end up taking him to Dubai or someplace or Hong Kong. I've been invited several places with him. We'll see how he does out here that Saturday. But I'm high on the horse.
Yeah, he's he's been one of my favorites, and of course that. That Breeders' Cup that you referenced where he got beat, I was devastated because I got a nice price on him in Great Britain.
And he came back, and I thought won one of the most spectacular races of the Breeders' Cup last year when he was dead last going across the dirt on the 6.5 downhill out of Santa Anita.
Yeah.
And just put on a fantastic kick and caught him right to wire. So that was, gee.
That's a perfect distance.
Memories are made of this. This is only 5.5 furlongs. You're going to have to get in gear a little bit quicker. But anyway, I think Castellano knows what he's done wrong and what he's done right, knows the horse, and I expect to get a ride this time, and I think it's going to be pretty close today.
Ken, you might be one of the premier owners and breeders in the game today, but you are also one of the best handicappers that the sport has seen in quite some time as well, and you're the self-proclaimed king of the pick six. I hear that name thrown around a lot when we talk about Ken Ramsey. So when you look at betting the Breeders' Cup, 13 championship races, how do you approach it?
Well, I use my rags and sheets, for starters. So I put all my numbers down, and then they'll tell you who the fastest horse in the race is. Now, the fastest horse don't always win, but that's where you start. And there's some horses in the race just not fast enough. They just have to run their eyeballs out to win, so eliminate those. And on my pick six strategy, I have to have at least one single, because otherwise a multiple is just too much. And sometime I'll take two singles, and then in one race that I cannot decipher at all, what I would call a funeral procession race. If you run it 10 times, you get 8 different winners. I'll buy the race. So I'll put in $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in the pick six, the Breeders' Cup, and I've hit, I've been very fortunate at it. I'm good, and I know I'm good, and that makes me dangerous. I'm just liable to win the Breeders' Cup pick six at the same time.
And it's only a buck this year, so you can have a lot more combination. Well, you might buy two races this year.
That'll be fun. I'll probably buy two tickets.
Might be able to hang on to Stephanie's kitten if we can take that thing down. Who knows?
And I will probably include all my horses in, because it'd be terrible to lose the pick six and not have my own horse beat me.
Yeah.
So I'll put them all in.
Owner Ken Ramsey joining us earlier this week on the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, and Jude having a little fun there with him at the end, but he is a tremendous handicapper. He has taken down several pick sixes, and could you imagine if indeed he would hit the pick or miss out on the pick six and not have one of his horses in, and his horse would be the one to win it? That you just couldn't live with yourself.
I only know one guy that did that, and I'm not even going to mention his name.
Really?
May he rest in peace.
Really? Whoa. That would not be good.
Not good on any level, really. But, Mr. Ramsey, he's kind of funny. Like, when he knows that there's going to be one of those mandatory payout days, like when they have those big pools at Gulfstream Park, he'll tell his trainer to drop one in so he can single it. And, it's a big advantage to have.
Yeah, certainly. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? No. Because you still don't know if your horse is going
to
win.
No, they have to run the race.
Right, just you can fake
it. Just because you want to do it doesn't mean you're going to be successful at it.
Right.
I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
He started talking about Big Blue Kitten, and here's a horse going in the Breeders' Cup turf. He talked about the pacemaker with Shining Copper. Big Blue Kitten, he has his one style. He's going to drop back. He's going to make the one run. Is he good enough to win that race?
I think he's good enough. He's so consistent. He fires every time. And I'll tell you one thing. I've been watching him in the morning. He looks great. I don't think he's ever looked better. And he just seems to have that zest for life right now. I mean, he's an old horse, but he's just like a kid. He's out there playing and screwing around in the mornings. He looks fantastic. So I'm expecting a big race from Big Blue Kitten.
And I know you're a huge fan of Bobby's Kitten as well.
I am. I've liked Bobby's Kitten from day one, and I can't believe he lost that Breeders' Cup race. As a two-year-old, last year he ran spectacularly down the hill, which may be his ideal distance. But I'll tell you, they ran him in the Shadwell Mile, and I thought that was like a horrible spot. But it might set him up good. He was pulling so hard. At no time did he ever have a chance to win that race. I'm hoping we get a good price on him, and he comes running at the end. And he is really a talented horse, and I'm glad Mr. Ramsey's standing him at his farm, because we'll get to see some really nice babies by Bobby's Kitten.
Remember to join us at noon Eastern time as we kick off 6 consecutive hours of Breeders' Cup Saturday coverage all the way through the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, that coverage presented by Cal Density. We're going to hear from trainer Mark Cassie talking about all of his entrants coming up this afternoon. Mark also joined us on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show earlier this week. That comes up in just a couple of minutes, but it's time now for your Blood Horse News Update. Well, let's look at the headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here you go. Here's one for you. Lane's End buys an interest in Liam's Map.
Lane's End has acquired an interest in Teresa Viola's stables and West Point Thoroughbred Liam's Map, according to a news release from the Versailles Kentucky Farm. A grade one winner in his last start, the Woodward Stakes at Saratoga, Liam's Map has been absolutely brilliant this year. For more industry news and headlines, here's all you have to do. You just go to bloodhorse.com and find them there. All right, I mentioned Mark Cassie coming up in just a couple of moments. We'll do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Kitten's Joy.
Big blue kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
And Stephanie's kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Tommy's kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density Digestive Aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density Digestive Aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at caldensity.com. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
We're in the upper stretch. It's La Appassionata by 3, 3.5. Above Fascia, giving it all she has, but she's not catching up. Then comes Jet Black Magic and a late run from Flashy Appeal from the back of the pack, but it's going to be La Appassionata in the My Trusty Cat.
La Appassionata, the 2-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini, owned and bred by Stone Street, remained perfect with a dominant 7-length win in the Trusty Cat Stakes at Delta Downs. Now 2 for 2, La Appassionata is a full sister to grade 2 winner Wilburn, and her winning effort in the Trusty Cat makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini has produced 13 grade 1 winners, including a Travers winner, in each of his first 2 crops. His 4 grade 1 winners in 2015 is second only to Tappet. All 4, Rachel's Valentina, Greenpoint Crusader, Cavorting, and Dame Dorothy, plus Grade 2 winner Fioretti, run on Saturday afternoon in Breeders' Cup events. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Hollywood Don set sail after the leaders. They come for home. Mount Vida. Nyquist is fully stretched, swiped down at the rail. Hollywood Don chasing after them in fourth, and then Rare Candy. Homeward bound Nyquist. Swipe at the rail. Swipe is coming fast. Nyquist calls on all his class. They hit and head for the wire. Nyquist was all heart, and Nyquist won it. Swipe was second. Hollywood Don settled for third. Rare Candy finished fourth.
Trevor Denman with the call of the front runner at Santa Anita just about the end of September, and Nyquist remaining undefeated for trainer Doug O'Neill. He is back in this afternoon's Breeders' Cup Juvenile, looking to earn some points toward that first Saturday in May 2016. And in case you're wondering, only 189 days remaining until the run for the Roses. And Nyquist, probably the horse to beat, didn't draw the best post position for the Juvenile. Another horse that drew an interesting post position is the Mark Cassie-trained Conquest
Big E, who breaks from post position number one. But as we know, Mark Cassie, very, very high on this horse, and he's a major player.
Yeah, he's a very nice horse. He's a big horse, beautiful stride. They paid $700,000 for him, so he must be pretty good looking, have a nice pedigree.
You would think.
You would hope.
He has to have something going for him.
Yeah, yeah, there's talented. Probably some pluses there.
Very talented. Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on this Breeders' Cup Saturday morning. Speaking of Lane's End, as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like the Factor, the top freshman sire, by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning two-year-old and classic winning three-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and two-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, just visit lanesend.com. Well, as we told you, Mark Cassie did take the time to swing by our location earlier this week. He appeared on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show, and here's what Mark had to say about his contenders on this Saturday afternoon and a few other thoughts as well from the outstanding trainer. Trainer Mark Cassie joining us now on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Jude, you know, you and I were talking yesterday how surprised we were to learn, as we were doing some research for the shows, that Mark Cassie, despite all of his success, is still looking for his first win in the Breeders' Cup. And Mark, I have to tell you, blows my mind, because when I thought of Mark Cassie, I said, well, I'm going to find a couple of winners here in the Breeders' Cup. Still looking for that first one. That's incredible.
You know, you're the first person that brought it up this
year. Of course, yeah. And the first thing I opened with, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean.
You want me to hold him and you can hit him?
I say it.
I mean, come on.
No, wait.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. You go run the guy down, and then you start with that? Yeah. Unbelievable.
And you wonder why I don't show up.
Now, wait a minute. In my defense, I say this with the utmost respect and as the ultimate compliment to a guy who has accomplished so much in this sport and is one of the premier trainers in the game today. See how I did that?
And you're good. You're getting back.
And it's mind-boggling to me. He's back with six chances again on Friday and Saturday, three on each day. And this appears, when you look at it, maybe to be one of your better chances.
I defended you, by the way.
Did you?
I did. And I said that you changed your style a little bit this year. You got out of Canada. You brought horses to the United States. You ran against the top competition.
Well, you know, that's true. You know, I was saying you're actually not the first person today. You were second person. You know, and honestly, in the past, in a lot of the races, we came knowing – that our horses needed to run the race of their life, or really not knowing, as you said, you know, we ran a lot in Toronto, and it's tough to get a good feel on what you have there. This year is a little different. Our horses don't have to run the race of their lives. They just have to run up to their ability. So, I mean, you know, somebody asked me yesterday if any of them have a shot, and I said, they all have a shot. And, sure. You know, I've ran horses where we needed a song and a prayer to win and a small miracle. And, you know, that's different this year. So that being said, I'm not going to say that much because anything's possible. And it would be nice. You know, the Queen's Plate was tough for us to win. Took us a long time. So now it's time for us to win a Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. One of the really highlight performances of this past Keeneland meet was Teppan's unbelievable dominant performance in winning the First Lady, and you had options with her. You could have either gone and taken on the girls in the Filly and Mare Turf, or you could have taken on the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile. You end up against the boys in the Mile. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't nothing was perfect. Ideally, we would have loved to run against the fillies going a mile. So, but we didn't have that option. So we have to play the cards we're dealt. And you know, just looking at it, I thought it made the most sense to run her in the mile. And I think she showed, here's another horse, you know, that like she likes Keeneland, which is nice. She likes some give to the ground. She likes it cool. The I think the key to her is the cool weather. I think she can run, as I've said, I think she can run with any miler in North America. It's can she run with every miler in the world? I don't know. You know, that's the big question. One thing we know about her is she's going to come and she's going to run hard, and she'll give us her best.
What was the catalyst with her? She was just kind of so-so, and then all of a sudden she just...
Well, you know, a lot of people say that. She was a good two-year-old, and we always felt like with her pedigree she was going to be a good turf horse. But there wasn't a lot of opportunities for her at the time. She broke her maiden. We ran her, I think, at Churchill, and then we took her and ran her in the Delta Princess, and she won that. And she came out of the Delta Princess not perfect, and we gave her some time. The first time we ran her on the grass, I think she was going to win at Churchill, and she almost went over the hedge. And then we took her to California, and she ran good. I agree with you. She didn't show what she is now, but sometimes it just takes some confidence, and it just took her to – you can see where we gave her time a couple times, and we do that. You'll see. Just sometimes I don't feel like we're getting all they have to give, and sometimes you just got to give them a break. And it worked this time. And I tell you, her race, when she won at Gulfstream, I can remember talking to Scott Hazleton before she won the stake at Churchill on Derby Day. I said, Scott, this filly can run with any filly in North America on the turf. And they kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And then a lot was said, well, she got out of the way with an easy lead. That was by design. I mean, there was no speed in the race. I said to Julian, there's no speed. She'll just put her on the lead. One thing about her, she can do a little bit of anything. And she can track. She actually likes to track horses. So, you know, somebody said, well, there's a lot of speed in the race on Breeders' Cup Day. I said, well, good. I don't care.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have one like that you can pretty much do anything right. with. And
I was blown away by her performance in the First Lady. How about you?
I was blown away. I sat there and just kind of shook my head. Because, I thought she could win. I mean, obviously, she looked like she should win. I thought they'd overbet her. I thought it was, you know, she wasn't as big a cinch as it was. And then we had some concerns with the turf. And I just sat there and shook my head and said, wow. Because what was amazing was at about the 16th pole, Julian just was like looking around. I think he, you know, the riders tend to look at the tote board to see where they're at. And I think he looked and didn't believe it. He's like, are you sure?
I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's nice about that, a lot of people have said, well, you know, she ran such a big race. Are you worried about her regressing from that? It was effortless for her. So,
and then the filly that she beat came back and won.
Yeah,
yeah, which is,
well,
which,
she's a pretty good horse herself.
Yeah, but I mean that's kind of underlines the fact of.
Well, I have to tell you, I ran a filly in there, Sky Treasure. She had just won the Grade Two at Kentucky Downs. She's no slouch. I mean, she can run with anybody, and probably with anybody, and get beat two or three lengths, and she got blown away. So, you know, when you see, you just don't see turf horses separate themselves that way she did.
Talking with trainer Mark Cassie on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He's going to be a very busy man both Friday and Saturday here at Keeneland. Three horses going to the post on Friday, potentially three horses on Saturday. And I say potentially because he will have Teppan against the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile. And then two horses entered into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Conquest Big E, who has drawn post position number one, and Siding Spring, who is still on the also eligible list, hoping to draw in to that juvenile field. And, Mark, let's start with Conquest Big E. Drawing the inside, good, bad, indifferent.
I think there's pluses and negatives. Drawing way outside, 13, 14. Are only negatives. So, you know, I think it could be an asset and it could also be his demise. A lot of it's just going to depend on how he acts. He can get a little hot-headed. We've been working on that as well. This is a really, really, really talented horse.
Obviously. Breaks his maiden here at Keeneland, then all of a sudden he's in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You must be very, very high on him.
And you haven't seen anything yet. No. This horse is a really talented horse. Will we see it on Saturday? You know, there's a lot of variables and a lot of things that can happen. We're throwing a lot at him. But I can tell you this. When I go through and I handicap the race, nobody scares me. I know that this horse trains as good as any horse can train. I mean, his last work at Churchill on a scale to 1 to 10, 10 being good, he worked all 11. So, I mean, he just amazes me. And he's the whole package. He's by Tappet. As good a sire as there is in the world.
Yep.
He's beautiful. And he's got the most beautiful way of going. So, only thing that can mess him up is his trainer.
Well, we won't count on that. It's interesting when you look at Brody's Cause, and he's 7-2 on the morning line, and your horse got beat a length and a half by Brody's Cause, and he's 30-1.
Yeah, I kind of laugh at that. But I have to tell you, when Brody's Cause, and Brody's Cause is a good horse, and you know Dale's done a great job with him. We ran our horse with blinkers. He got away bad, ran off down the backside. And what was funny is he fended off all his the comer. But, you know, Sean said afterward, Brody's Cause was so far out, he said he never saw Brody's Cause. And we took the blinkers off in his next start, and he was a different horse. He relaxed, he rated, and, you know, so.
Tell me about your relationship with Conquest Stables. It's been a good one.
That would be an understatement, you know. I mean, here, Ernie Smirsky, Dory Noel, they have, you know, what can I say? They start out with one horse, and they have so much faith in us. And I tell you what, when people put that much faith in you, it makes it that much tougher because you want to deliver. But, I mean, if nothing happens, you know, as long as we can continue to not have a bunch of bad luck, you're going to see. You haven't seen anything out of them. They've got even a stronger. You've seen. We ran a horse called Conquest Enforcer the other day. He's what a good horse he is. I've got a few that we haven't even run yet, and we have our yearling crop is unbelievable. So, you know, a lot of people talk. Very few walk the walk. He runs the walk. So, Ernie Smirsky. you're going to see a lot of Conquest, I believe, in the future.
Can't beat that.
No, not at all. One other horse to touch on, that's Siding Spring, who may or may not get into that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, as I mentioned. He is on the also eligible list. Run very well. Both of his starts on grass. He exits a third place finish in the Grade 3 Bourbon here at Keeneland on October 4th. Why the decision to go here as opposed to the juvenile turf?
He's trained really well on the dirt. Both those horses, even Aeroforce, the only reason they ran on turf first time was we were looking at either running at Churchill Downs for $37,000 purse or $38,000 or $120,000 at Kentucky Downs. So we opted to run both the horses down on the turf. But he trains really well on the dirt, and, you know, I left that up to Gabe Grossberg. Gabe Grossberg is a client of mine that's been trained for him maybe 6-7 years, a wonderful man. He started out with cheaper horses, and he's picked up his game, and you're going to see more and more of Gabe Grossberg. And he's a handicapper. His son's a handicapper. I let them decide. I said, where would you like to go? And that was the decision they made. And you know what? I may be a little different than a lot of trainers in all my decisions. I appreciate, you know, I give my thoughts, but ultimately the owner owns the horse, and I let them call a lot of shots. I'm not going to say any names, but on a couple occasions I've said to an owner, you know, what do you think? Or what do you think we should do? He goes, you're the first trainer that's ever asked me that. And see, and I think maybe that's why I have such a great relationship with them. You know, they're smart people. They didn't get where they're at by being dumb. And, you know, I that's part of the fun of it. We only get to run a little bit of it. You know, Mr. Oxley told me that, and I think Ernie feels the same way. It's not just about the racing. It's the strategizing. It's the buying. It's, you know, you love the entire game. I can remember Mr. Mangarian, who's passed away over 6 years ago, Mockingbird, he goes, Mark, he said, it's 99% dreams. You know, and that's why I think the Breeders' Cup's done a great job. I think when they added the turf races, the more, you know, a lot of people say, well, they diluted the turf. All the Breeders' Cup did was give more dreams. That's what we need. That's what we all want, right? Yeah. It's all about dreaming.
I couldn't agree with you more. I always take umbrage at the fact that people don't like all the Breeders' Cup races. I mean, I wish there were more divisions.
Yeah, you know, that. I mean, you want to, you know, we're out. It helps everybody. We're out buying, looking for the dream. So give them the dreams. Most of the time, the dream is not.
it's a dream.
Unavailable.
Unavailable. But and you know what? And that's kind of what I feel. I feel really good that we have six horses in the race because we've been able. Not that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm the sole reason that they're there, but I've helped, and our team has helped. So that's what we're fulfilling dreams. It's our dreams too.
Yeah, it certainly is. Mark Cassie on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Mark, I can tell you this. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you over the past several years. You're always very gracious with your time. And it is only a matter of time before that Breeders' Cup victory comes your way. And the time may be now. So all the best on Friday. All the best on Saturday. And I can tell you, I don't think you'll have two people cheering more for you when those horses are coming down the stretch than Jude and I.
Well, I appreciate that. And I always like talking to you, and I hope maybe you want to talk to me afterwards.
Let's do it.
That's always a better thing. I mean, I like talking before, but hopefully we can talk about some great racing. And you know, for everybody, I just hope everybody has safe trips. And you know, it's been a rough year for a lot of us. And I just hope for a safe Breeders' Cup. No matter the outcome for us, it's just I want everybody to be safe.
Yeah, and we promise we'll talk with you afterwards.
Okay.
Let's do it. And Mark Cassie joining us earlier this week on the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show. Some fun things with Mark Cassie. Of course, the way I began that interview, maybe not the best of ways to get into it, but, you know, Mark Cassie is one guy that you can do that with. And we have that relationship with Mark where he knew the way that I was trying to get into that was out of respect for him because of all the success he's had as a trainer. And it is unbelievable that Mark Cassie has not won a Breeders' Cup race to this point. I thought for sure he had two or three wins to his credit.
Yeah, he always seems to have live horses. I remember a couple years ago at San Anita, we interviewed him, and it looked like he was on the cusp of winning a couple of races then. But, you know, things change, and I like the fact that he's upped his program this year. He's brought his horses in to race against North American competition, well, actually United States competition, because he races in Canada, which is in North America. But you know, he brought the horses to Santa Anita, he brought the horses to Keeneland. He had a fantastic Keeneland meet, so he knows now how his horses stack up with top competition in this country, and it's going to be a lot easier for him moving forward, I think, to know where to place these horses and whether they're good enough for Breeders' Cup Day.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You and I talk about this a lot, Jude, that you can read between the lines with trainers. And we had that happen earlier this week when we had Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer join us on the Countdown Show. And we asked him about Wild Dude in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And all you had to do was just mention the name, and his face lit up. And it was a shame we weren't on television so people could see that reaction. We kind of got the same thing from Mark Cassie when he started talking about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and talking about Conquest Big E. He is extremely high on that horse.
Yeah. He said to me even before we went on the air, he goes, he's a very good horse. Yeah. I loved that. Now you're reading more into it.
And well, now you have to throw him in, right?
Because question.
Like we talked about with Ramsey earlier.
Yeah.
If that horse would win, and we'd miss out on a big score because we didn't put him in.
Well, we don't do that. We don't miss out on big scores because we don't put them in. We might make a mistake here or there, but it's not because we don't put them in. And you know, I mean, this has happened to us over the years. We've had trainers we've read between the lines. The Jessica's Back is a horse that you know, was very, very good to us. And you know, you talk to trainers, and you do see that reaction. You do see their eyes light up, and sometimes you get the adverse reaction. Sometimes a guy's got a horse in that's a favorite, and you go, oh, you got so and so in, and then they go kind of like hemming and hawing, and you go, maybe we're not as high on this horse as we should be. So it's tough to know exactly what's going on in somebody's mind, but you can tell by their facial expressions. And I'm not a great poker player or anything, but I think I read trainers pretty well.
I like the way he approached Teppan in the Breeders' Cup Mile when he said, you know, she's good enough to run with about any miler in North America, but is she good enough to run with the best milers in the world? And that's what he has to find out today.
Yeah, that's another question in some of these races when you have the international horses coming in. And this year we have a very high-quality contingent of international horses. So, you know, it's tough to gauge. But you got to take your best hold. And he kind of indicated with her that there wasn't a perfect race for her. He wasn't evidently in love with the mile and 3/16 thing, and he wasn't in love with any of the other races available. So this was the logical choice for her, and she was ultra impressive. I mean, you got to say, when a turf horse wins by 7 lengths, that's a racing rarity.
Yeah, heard him say he was blown away, and yeah. I was as well. That's how I asked him that question, and he said, yeah, I was blown away too. And he just stood there shaking his head at what he had just seen with Teppan.
Yeah, no, she's at the top of her game right now, that's for sure.
All right, well, Mark Cassie, we want to thank him for joining us. And, of course, Ken Ramsey, you heard that interview just a short time ago. And if you missed any portion of this show, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to the podcast. Some of these interviews will be broken out. They'll be on our homepage. You can just go back and listen at your leisure. And make sure you do that at horseracingradio.net. And, by the way, when you're there, well, you might as well check out our entire Breeders' Cup schedule for this afternoon. And it's pretty simple. 6 hours of consecutive Breeders' Cup coverage, noon to 6 Eastern time, all presented by Cal Density. And you can visit our website for a complete listing of affiliates around the country to listen online and for that SiriusXM information. And in case you're wondering, you can catch that coverage right here on SiriusXM 93.
You know, something that I learned about Cal Density the other night at your party, I didn't realize that they made products for dogs as well as horses.
Yes.
So it's not just if you have a horse, you can check out Cal Density, but also they have products for your dog.
And they have fishing products.
Really?
How cool is that? They make lures and everything.
I didn't hear that.
They have a whole other division.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Check
Fantastic.
It out. CalDensity.com. All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we will go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. That's all presented by Gainsway. And we'll make our selections as to who we think is going to win these Breeders' Cup races coming up later today. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies, or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge will be offering offspring owned by leading breeders Judmont Farm and George Strawbridge, among others, at the upcoming Keeneland November sale. Often offered without reserve, this is an opportunity to get into families rarely offered otherwise. In addition, the Millridge consignments include weanlings by Bernardini, Candy Ride, Lawn Row, Quality Road, and Point of Entry. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Larry Colmus with the call of that memorable moment back on the first Saturday in June at Belmont Park. American Pharoah becoming the first Triple Crown winner in thoroughbred racing since affirmed in 1978. Many people have told us over the past couple of days that they didn't know if they would ever see another Triple Crown winner. Well, it has happened, and he will have his swan song later this afternoon in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert and owners Ahmed Zayat. And, of course, we'll have that coverage for you this afternoon, beginning at noon Eastern, all presented by Cal Density. And, Jude, when you think about what this ride has been like for the connections of American Pharoah, and I know how close you are with Bob Baffert. You trained with him for a long time out in California. It's been very emotional, and very emotional from the standpoint that now you have to say goodbye to him after today's classic. Win, lose, or draw, he's going to be going to stud at Coolmore. And not like he's leaving us per se, right? But he's leaving us on the racetrack, and that's a bit of a sad moment.
Well, it's, probably, I guess the word of the day is bittersweet. But
there you go.
It's one of those things where you have a horse of that caliber, and I never had a horse of that caliber or even half of that caliber. But, I mean, you get used to seeing him every day, and it's a consuming thing. You know, the horse consumes your thoughts. You're always thinking about how you want to train him, what you need to do with him, how is he. You're thinking about him, you know, morning, noon, and night. And so when they leave the barn, you kind of – it's like – losing your best friend or whatever, you just go, well, there's not much to think about. It's like, you know, if you had a longtime girlfriend and she kicks you to the curb, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I told you, I asked Bob Baffert, I had emceed an event for the Thoroughbred Charities of America earlier this week, and I asked him about that moment when he does have to walk into the stall the next day and American Pharoah isn't there like he's been for the past couple of years. And I said, Bob, you've had a lot of really good horses over the years. So for a trainer of your caliber, what's that moment like? And he said, we've had a lot of good horses. We haven't had one like this.
Yeah.
And I thought that was well said.
That's true. And you know, there's a picture hanging in our studio, and I don't know if you recall it or not, but it's me standing there in a mint green shirt with Veal Vin.
Well, how could I forget that?
Yeah. Who was one of my best horses, and that was the day that was actually that photo was taken about 2 minutes before I put her on the van to come to Kentucky. And you know, it was a sad day for us because, you know, we'd had her in the barn for over 3 years, and she was our big horse, and you know, she made $500,000 for us, and so it was a sad day to see her go. But you know, onward and upward. You can't worry about it. The horses have to do what they have to do. She went to be a mom, and you know, that's the game. So it will be sad, but you know, Bob will come back here. He visits his horses at Old Friends. He will certainly come back here and see American Pharoah. So
yep.
It's not like he'll be gone forever. Bob will reunite with him, I'm sure, over
no
at
doubt.
Coolmore.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. We are getting set to handicap the 9 races coming up this afternoon, which you'll hear beginning at noon Eastern on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sirius XM Channel 93 will join us at 1 o'clock Eastern time. So keep that in mind. A bit of a programming note for today's coverage for those Sirius XM listeners. They will join us at 1 p.m. Eastern time and then take you all the way through until 6 here on HRRN. Jude, it is time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
This is The Road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year, the horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, this is indeed presented by Gainsway, and of course that is where Cara Conti will go to stud coming up after the Breeders' Cup Mile this afternoon. He's back to defend his title. And JT, we begin with the first Breeders' Cup race on the afternoon. That is the Mile and a 16th Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, which will go as race number 3 right around 12:05 Eastern time.
Yeah, it's a real interesting race. The favorite, 7-5 Songbird, she drew the outside post, but you know, she's been perfect in everything she's done. She's never really been headed in a race. She looks classy. Her numbers are improving. We don't know what her ceiling is. We certainly know she has not much of a floor. She's got all ceilings. You know, I think she'll probably win.
Yeah, I went with Songbird on top. I'm going to use Tap to It and Rachel's Valentina underneath her as well. I think both of those horses very talented coming out of that race at Saratoga. All right, let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint, the Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint, which is set for race number 4, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. This is the turf sprint. Correction to that. I think I said sprint, but it's the turf sprint. Again, 5.5 furlongs on the grass, and Bobby's Kitten, the defending champ, back in here.
Well, Bobby's Kitten certainly has a chance. He's 15-1, which I think is too big of a price. He didn't get the best post. Being in the two-hole at Keeneland, 1 and 2 are not the greatest post positions for turf sprints, but Bobby's Kitten certainly has a chance. Undrafted, one of my favorite horses. He's owned by Wes Welker and trained by Wesley Ward. Very, very nice horse, and he can run any distance on any kind of turf. I think he's got a shot. Green Mask was a horse that I liked. Wesley's other horse, who's 15-1, also on the morning line. This horse has some good races. If you look back, 2 races back to the race against Soul Power, Soul Power is one of the best turf sprinters in the world, and this horse got beat a length by him. I think at 15-1, he offers you some value. There's so many ways you could go in here. Marchman was a horse that I was interested in. Brett Calhoun training him now. He had big success for Brett Calhoun before. He won a race here at Keeneland, the Shakertown, at 23-1. He went wire to wire that day. That scares me a little bit because I think the turf may be a little soft and may not be conducive to front runners in the sprint. A horse that worked great that I saw personally work was the 14 Mongolian Saturday, another 15-1 shot.
Yeah.
And he blew out super, and he has a win on a yielding turf at Arlington Park. So I think if you're looking for a horse to throw into your tries. He might be an interesting horse Mongolian Saturday.
I'll take Undrafted in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and we'll see if we can't get lucky with Undrafted. That race followed by the Filly and Mare Sprint, the Twin Spires Filly and Mare Sprint, as they are the sponsor of all the sprint races on this Saturday afternoon program. 7 furlongs on the main track, and another defending champ in Judy the Beauty back for Wesley Ward.
Well, we all know Wesley Ward loves Judy the Beauty, but I love her more. She's one of my favorites. I was so cocky as to bet her against the great Groupie Doll, and she finished second that day, but then she came back and won, so I'm a big Judy the Beauty fan.
Yeah, I think she has a big chance in here, but I'm going to play against her. I'm going to go with Kieran McLaughlin and Cavorting. I just think that she looks like a standout in here. I think Dame Dorothy can run well, but for me, I'm going to go with Cavorting on top in the Twin Spires Filly and Mare Sprint. The race following that one is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, and always a fun race, mile and 3/16 on a turf course that, again, will have just a little bit of give to it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. We've got some nice Euros in here. Legatissimo opens as the 8-5 favorite. All you have to know about Legatissimo is Ryan Moore is riding. Ryan Moore, probably the best jockey in the world. The guy doesn't lose very much, and she's a very nice filly. But, you know, some of the American fillies are excellent. And then we have De Sita, who came up from Chile, was impressive at Saratoga, won her first start in this country at 7-1, and she's 8-1 for this race. I wouldn't fall asleep on her. I think she's a pretty nice filly.
Yeah, I went Legatissimo. Hard Not to Like is my long shot play in there, and Stephanie's Kitten as my 3 in the Filly and Mare Turf. We're going to get to a quick word from Gainsway. We'll come back and quickly run through the other Breeders' Cup races coming up this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News of Canarias is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Bannum. Lead one from Adam Dahl. Carrick Gondi and O'Dahl. Carrick Gondi.
Gainsway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Caracanti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracanti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. He returns to defend his title October 31st at Keeneland. Caracanti, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, a few more races to look at coming up this afternoon, beginning noon Eastern with our coverage. JT, let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint. This race presented by Twin Spires.
Well, I'll tell you, this race is always tough, but I'm going to give you a long shot in here. The 6, Ivan Fallen Novalot, 30-1 on the morning line. This horse has some really good speed and pace figures, Calvin Burrell, and should not be 30-1.
Yeah, I ended up going with Kobe's Back, getting the victory over Wild Dude for Jerry Hollendorfer. So that should be a good race, and we'll see if we're right on that Breeders' Cup Sprint. That race is followed by the Breeders' Cup Mile, which is always fun, a mile on the turf.
Well, I'll tell you, the minute I got back to Kentucky, I was told that Esoteric was going to win this race. So that's where I'm going.
I don't think she can get beaten there. I love her in that spot this afternoon. All right, let's go to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Winter Book favorite for the Kentucky Derby, set to be determined.
Yeah, this is a very tough race. I kind of like Cocked and Loaded at 12-1. He's got a big shot. I'm going to probably use Conquest Big E at 30-1. He's got a big shot. So I'm a little disappointed Isotherm isn't running on the turf. He's running on the dirt. I don't know what to make of him. He's been very good to me this year. But I like him better on the grass, a son of the great Lonro.
Yeah, I went with Brody's Cause, getting up to defeat Nyquist in here. And if you're looking for another horse to throw in, I went number 12, or not number 12, but I went with Swipe in there. So Brody's Cause, Nyquist, and Swipe, but I like Brody's Cause to win the Juvenile. The Breeders' Cup Turf, Golden Horn, the horse to beat, 4-5 morning line favorite?
I think so. If he runs away, he's capable of running. I don't know how he'll handle the ground, but he seems to have won on every possible ground. He's a very, very talented horse. But, you know, the pizza man, he's kind of won me over. I was a little mad at him after winning the Arlington Brilliant, costing us a bunch of money that day. But, you know, his race in the Shadwell Turf Mile was awesome. I think it'll set him up good for this race. And I love Florent Giroux. He's become one of my favorite jocks.
Wouldn't shock me if the pizza man wins, but I do have to side with Golden Horn in the Breeders' Cup Turf. And, Jude, the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
Well, that's going to be American Pharoah. I don't want to hear about anybody else.
American Pharoah and everybody else. You know, I'm going to take a shot here. American Pharoah is going to be tough, especially with the scratchy beholder. Give me Smooth Roller to get up in the final stride.
He's got a chance.
American Pharoah.
He's got a chance, I'll tell you what. Big shot there, but I bet you Baffert's happy you didn't pick American Pharoah.
I'm sure he's thrilled. All right, don't forget, we're back at noon Eastern time with that coverage of the Breeders' Cup. Make sure you visit horseracingradio.net for a listing of affiliates and SiriusXM information. And to listen online, check out the podcast of this show later on this morning. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. And, of course, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.